Because this verse connects the two together, and he says, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the picture that the Bible talks about in terms of asking for things is to be thankful in the asking, and that's what we're going to talk about briefly today. I just want to spend a few minutes looking at this passage. And the first point that I want to bring out is that we need to be thankful in the asking. Now, the normal order of things when we ask for stuff, right? We ask for stuff, we ask for the something, right? Then maybe or maybe not, we get it. And if we get it, we're thankful. We express thanks. We say thank you to that person. That's a normal order of things. You ask for something, then you wait, and then you see if you get it. And then if you get it, you say thank you. But that's not what verse 6 is talking about. I'm going to read verse 6 again. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And then he inserts this little phrase. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So even in our asking for stuff, even in our prayer, even in our supplication, we need to do it with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. And it probably would be more logical to us in our flesh, if he left that phrase out. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. That makes more sense to us as humans, but he inserts this phrase with thanksgiving. And we need to be thankful in the asking. We need to have the attitude of being thankful. Verse 6 says that we need to be thankful while asking, even before we received it. Like I said, the normal order of stuff, right, is you ask for stuff, and you wait for you to get it. Then if you get it, you say thank you. But that's not what this verse is talking about in terms of prayer. We need to be thankful even before we received the request. And that's really important in terms of being thankful for stuff. We need to be thankful whether or not we received it. And the question is, we need to be thankful, right? Why do we need to be thankful? Why do we need to be thankful before we even received it? And here's the answer. Because it really doesn't matter if you receive the something or not. It really doesn't matter if you get the thing or not. Get the thing or not. And so why? Why should we be thankful whether we receive the thing or not? Because we need to remember that God is with you. We need to remember that God is with you. Verse 7, I'm going to read verse 7 again. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's the answer. That's the answer of why it doesn't matter if we receive the thing or not, because God is with us. No matter what the outcome is of the request, no matter what the outcome is of the prayer, God will guard your heart and mind. And this is what we should be thankful of, that God is with us no matter what. That's why we're thankful in the asking. That's why we're thankful in the prayer. Because no matter what the outcome is of the prayer, no matter what the outcome, if we receive the thing we're asking for or not, it doesn't matter, because no matter what, God is with us. And that's why we are so thankful, because God is with us. And that is the single thing, and he should be the single thing we are thankful for, because God is with us. And no matter what, God will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, no matter what we're asking for. And I skipped over that little phrase. It says, be anxious for nothing, right? And we really have nothing to worry about. And a lot of times we stop there. in our when we're reading this passage. Be anxious for nothing. We don't read the rest of the verse. We think, okay, be anxious for nothing. That is the thing, right? We need to have no anxiety. We need to not worry about anything. We not need to not be anxious about anything. And that is the end result. But when we read the rest of the passage, we see, oh, wait a minute. The reason we don't have to be anxious for anything is because God is with us. That is why we don't have to be anxious for anything. That's why in our prayer we can be thankful, because God is with us no matter what the outcome is. We don't have to be worried about anything. That's why we can be anxious for nothing. Because no matter what happens, God is with us. If you look at Psalm 3, I'm going to read the little preface there. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And in English, right, they make this a prefix, but this is really in the text. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And this is really verse 1 in Hebrew. In our English, it says, verse 1, it says, Lord, how they increase to trouble me. All right. So with those two little verses, we need to talk about this. Okay. So David is writing the psalm. David is writing the psalm because he fled. He was running away from Absalom, his son. And if you remember from the account, Absalom, his son, the reason that he's running away, David's running away, is because Absalom is seeking to kill him. So he's writing this psalm in that context. So David is a little upset, right? He's a little fearful for his life because he's running away literally for his life because his son is seeking to kill him. So when it says, Lord, how they increase to trouble me, these are not just words that David is saying. He's really troubled in his spirit. He's really upset because the son is out to kill him. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say to me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. So everyone is saying, you're dead. Don't worry about it, right? Everybody is rising up against you, and he knows this, that everybody is out to get him, and David is running for his life. But David knows that his help is in the Lord. He knows that the Lord is a shield for him. He knows that the Lord is his protection. Verse 4, it says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained him. All right. So here's a little note. I read this, and I glossed over it myself, and we probably gloss over it myself or yourselves. Verse 5 says that David lay down and slept. Okay. So have you ever been anxious or fearful? What's the first thing to go out the window? Right? You're up all night. You can't sleep. But David can sleep. And I don't think any of us have been hunted, right? Any of us have had people come against us to kill us. So if anyone can stay awake at night, it would be David. But he puts this little phrase in there in verse 5. He says he lay down and slept. Okay, this is crazy that David was able to sleep while he was being hunted, while people were tracking him down to try to kill him. David really knew, this wasn't, again, flowery language. David knew that God was his protection, that God was with him, to the point that he didn't care what was happening to him. He didn't really care that he was being hunted. He was able to sleep peacefully just fine, no matter what was happening. I'm going to read the rest of the... He says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people. They have set themselves against me all around. He said he was not afraid of 10,000 people that would come against him. That is amazing. This is David talking. People are hunting him. And he said, yeah, he sleeps fine at night. 10,000 people can come against him, and he is simply not going to be afraid. Verse 7 says, Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. And this is why he's not afraid. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He knows that God is with him. He knows that God is with him. And therefore, he is anxious for nothing, like Philippians 4 says. Again, in Judges, here's another illustration. And this has got to be one of my favorite accounts in the Old Testament. We're talking about Gideon. We're talking about Gideon's 300 against this vast army. And this is amazing to me. Verse 16, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to jump around. You can read it yourself starting in chapter 6. Verse 16 says, And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you. Talking to Gideon. I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Okay, if you don't know the account, you're like, okay, whatever. God's going to be with Gideon. He's going to be fine. He's going to defeat the Midianites. Okay, let's go back to verse 5 and let's see what Gideon is up against. Talking about the army. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts, both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. All right. So this is what Gideon is coming up against. This vast army that says they are without number. They come in numerous like locusts. And we have not experienced, I don't think, the numerous amount of locusts. If you read the Little House on the Prairie series, they have this account where these locusts came up and basically destroyed everything, every living thing. So when it talks about numerous like locusts, we're not talking about a few locusts here. I remember a friend of mine was living in Montana at that time, and he saw a locust like this that would come against him and would eat every living thing all around him. When we're talking about locusts, we're talking about them without number. So when Gideon is seeing the vast army against him, these are like hordes of people. This is a massive army. This is a massive army. And God is telling Gideon, surely I will be with you. I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one man. This is an incredible promise to Gideon. And Gideon was probably shaking in his boots. shaking in his boots. But as you can see with the rest of the account, Gideon had faith in what God had said. Gideon had faith in God, and Gideon knew that God was going to be with him. If you skip over to the next chapter in verse 8, God pared down Gideon's men. So verse 8 says, "So the people took provisions and the trumpets in their hands, and they sent away all the rest of Israel, every man in his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley." I love this. He said it pared it down to 300 men. Oh, and by the way, they can see the camp of Midian below them. I love that. He put these two together, these two little phrases. "I'm going to pare you down to 300 men. Oh, by the way, you're going to see the vast army that you are going to come against." 300 people against an army without number. "Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be with them. And oh, by the way, you are going to defeat this vast army." Verse 12 says, again, "Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east were lying in the valleys numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand of the, by the seashore in multitude." All right. Have you ever seen the sand by the seashore? There's a whole lot of sand, right? So the point is that this army is vast. This army is great. This army is tremendous. This army is going to crush Israel. That's the point, right? That's the point. If you reverse it, right, the U.S. Army attacked Iraq with the whole Kuwait thing. I can't remember the number, but they defeated. It was super easy for the U.S. Army. They defeated the Iraqis, I don't know, like 20 days or whatever, a month. They defeated the whole army. It was a cakewalk for them. So that's the reverse. That's what's happening here, right? Gideon is against this vast, destructive army. Vast, destructive army. And without God, Gideon knew he didn't stand a chance at all. If you look at verse 19, it says this, "So Gideon and the 300 who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands, and blowing they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" Again, I love this phrase. He said, they said, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." They knew that God was with him. "And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled." All right, so 300 people were stationed around the camp. And if you imagine, this camp was probably big. So we're not talking like, you know, arm to arm, 300 people around it. I mean, I would imagine that they were spread out quite a bit. I don't know, it doesn't say, but I can imagine that they were spread out quite a bit. But the whole army ran and cried out and fled. "When the 300 blew the trumpets and set out every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, the army fled." The army fled. The massive army, the army that was as numerous as the sand of the seashore, fled in the face of the 300 people. Why? Because God was with them. Because God was with them. In Romans 8, it says this: "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." Why should we find comfort in this? We're not Gideon. We're not facing a vast army. We're not in that situation. But the same God that was with Gideon is with believers. Is with believers. And we know this is a sure thing. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. God orchestrates all things together for our good. For our good, for those that love God. And that's really the foundation, loving God. If someone doesn't love God, yeah, they should be afraid, because this verse does not apply to them. All things do not work out together for their good. For their good. Matthew 7:11 says this: It says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," we give good gifts to our kids, right? That's the point. "How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask him?" Our verse is talking about prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in your prayer, with thanksgiving, ask of God. Ask of God. God will give good things to believers that ask him. But we need to remember what Scripture says. It says good gifts. It's not our definition of good. It's not what we think is good. You know, I may ask God for a Ferrari, but he's absolutely not going to give me a Ferrari. Why? Because it is not good for me to have a Ferrari. If you remember this verse in James 4, it says, "You ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." We got to remember, right? God gives good things to believers. God gives good things to his children. But if we ask amiss, if we ask bad things according to God, things that we want to spend on our pleasures, if we ask for $1 million so that we can spend it on our pleasures, God is not going to give us $1 million. Let me just tell you that. Why? Because we want to spend it on our pleasures. But if we ask of God good things according to his definition of good, God is going to give us those good things. This should be a comfort to us, because God is with us. That is why in our prayer we can be thankful, because no matter what, God is going to be with us. God is going to work all things together for our good. God is going to work all things together for our good. And that is simply why we don't have to be anxious, because God is with us. This is the time of year where we are reminded to be thankful. And it doesn't matter if we receive what we want or not. We're coming up on Christmas, right, kids? We're coming up on Christmas. And it doesn't matter if we get the stuff that we want or not, because we need to remember that God is with us no matter what happens. God is with us. He is the ultimate reason that we should be thankful. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and recognize that you work all things together for our good, for those that love you. May we be people that recognize that, that even if we don't see that you're working all things together for good, you are because your word says it. May we live to bring you glory, no matter what happens. May we be truly thankful to you because you are with us. Just as you were with Gideon, you are with us. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.